Good morning and welcome back to the Good Medicine, Cheaper Medicine. I'm Nash Gabriel from the Gabriel Cancer Center, and with me, my co-host is Shelley Wrench.
Good morning.
Good morning, Shelley. Today, we want to talk about what do we mean when we say a cancer center? Let me give a little introduction. Back in the late 70s, even before I come to the U.S., the Center for Medicare and Medicare Services, that's CMS, that's Medicare, that's the government, they decided that it wasn't right that hospitals and doctors just charge what they want and pay. In those days, you charge for the services that you think is worth this much, and the payers, the insurance, including Medicare, will pay what you charge.
Well, remember when I came in 1996, you put down a needle and put down a cost, you got paid for it.
Yes.
So, yeah,
and actually,
come a long way.
Cash-paying patients who have no insurance or are willing to pay when they go to the hospital, especially like people like the Amish, they actually still charge them for the needle, for the Band-Aid, but that's besides the point. My point I'm making is they, meaning the CMS, started the DRG system, the diagnosis related group, meaning CMS, Medicare, says if you are admitted with a pneumonia, they looked at the average, historic average, that the average cost of pneumonia throughout history has been about $4,000. So they say, we will only pay you $4,000. We don't care whether the patient stays there for one day or 10 days. That became tricky, of course, because...
Yeah, because why wouldn't you just kick them out after one day
or,
and cash all the money?
Or why not admit a lot of people, call it pneumonia when they don't have it?
Right.
So it happens that in this profession... Medicare can come up with the tricks and can come up with the solutions, and the medical profession, especially hospitals, they know how to get around them. But besides the point, when it came to cancer care, Medicare decided that there are 12 cancer centers. They call them NCI-designated cancer centers. And these 12 will be exempt from the rule. Until today, these centers, they get paid what they charge. They're the only exception in the rule.
There's actually 67 NCI-designated cancer centers now. 26 are cancer centers and 41 are comprehensive cancer centers.
Yeah.
You know what the difference is between the two?
No.
The comprehensive cancer center has, they both have to have research, but the comprehensive is that they have to give the cancer information to healthcare professionals and the public. They're more like educating the public along with taking care of patients. So Comprehensive Cancer Center provides cancer patients with services, does clinical trials, studies the patterns and causes, but those who are comprehensive actually educate the public and other providers.
So who are the 12? I assume the 12 were the initial 12. They include MD Anderson. They include... Dana-Farber, they include Cornell, which is Memorial Sloan Kettering. They include...
Johns Hopkins.
Mayo. They include Case Western Reserve, the James Cancer Center.
UCLA.
Anyway, yeah. So these people still, until today, when we give Taxol, right, Medicare pays us what, how many bucks? 70, 80, whatever?
Not even.
These people, these cancer centers... they still charge $5,000, and guess what?
They get paid.
They get paid. We charge, whatever we charge, we get paid $65. See the discrepancy? And when people, community activists, when they start questioning the government, in the last 2 years, there has been a lot of writings about, can we justify these comprehensive cancer centers, their outrageous cost, because we have learned the last 2, 3, 4 years that their cost per patient per diagnosis is about 11-fold higher than the community. But that's not the reason we're talking today. The subject today is what makes a cancer center?
Well, Well, the initial measurements for finding out what, discovering what the identifying the top 50 hospitals, what was number one?
Educate me, please, because I know the government doesn't make sense.
So reputation.
Reputation. Reputation.
Yep.
So basically, opinion poll.
Yes.
Okay.
It now has changed into more weighing less on the reputation since 2014. They actually changed the patient safety score from 5 to 10% and decreased the percentage used in measuring reputation.
And don't tell me that hospitals cannot manipulate that data to prove their points.
Shouldn't we all be safe? Have safety as a front forefront? I mean, now it's only 10% of the score. Safety? Really? Reputation is still more, but they decrease the reputation.
So reputation, you get it through proper advertisements. Not proper.
Don't you think it's part of the Good Boys Club, just like they have the magazines of 10 best physicians?
It's that, but also there is there's a lot of special interest in that. So who decides on these things? There's a lot of people who migrate from the private sector to the government and vice versa. And a lot of the people hire those because of their connections. And you watch TV these days, oh, this one did this, that. Like Trump's lawyer was paid by a company $500,000 in fees, and they said that was because he wanted access to that company wanted, I think it was AT&T, who was it? That they wanted access, or IBM, access to the president. Wow. Wake up, guys. If you go and examine how much corruption there is when government employees, high-ranking employees, go and work in the private sector, there is a reason why they pay them so much, exuberantly so, because they sell their influence. Harry Truman, when he finished his terms as president, many companies came to him to hire him, and he told them, guys, you don't like me. You like my influence, so go to hell. And he decided never, ever to work for private sector as a president because he didn't think it was pure.
Wow.
Right.
You know, I don't want the listeners to feel like we're antagonizing. Some of these hospitals might have great operations, great everything. They take care of the patients, but I think it's important that we actually peel back the layers to actually see what makes that hospital cancer center good, or any cancer center
good.
Well,
according to the government, is reputation. And reputation, you can gain it easily through spending a lot of money on TV ads and on billboards and so on. And there is no law that will challenge you if you falsely advertise. Like example, if you say, like us, if we put billboards, we say Gabriel Cancer Center is the best cancer center in Ohio, which by the way it is, right?
We think so.
There's no way the public can challenge, or anybody can challenge, that claim.
Or if you're on a TV advertisement, if you scream it, like some of those ads that they just scream, we are the best. It sounds like we're the best. Works.
And now it's disturbing to know that, in fact, the government considers the reputation, which is name recognition, as being a parameter to use when you qualify hospitals or cancer centers to be paid over and beyond what the normal people get paid. See how much twisted the system is? And see why people actually spend a lot of money on advertisement, and some of it, a lot of it, is not true. So, example, when we decided to name our practice a cancer center, what were the premises? What were the reasons that we thought it justifies that we call ourselves cancer center? Besides, we think so.
Because, you know, we are the true definition of comprehensive. Just like the definition that you find online. Comprehensive means that we provide all services, meaning research, the CAT scan imaging, total infusions, as well as keeping patients out of the hospital. We have that infusion center that we make sure that those patients are taken care of and kept out of the hospital at all costs. because we know that life, quality of life in a hospital sucks. I mean, you just don't want to go there, let alone, you know, when we go to these hospitals, you're going to pick up extra infections that you shouldn't be.
You just mentioned a while ago that the government considers public education as part of being comprehensive. Of course, we are not comprehensive cancer center.
We're not designated because we don't have the reputation.
And I don't care, except if we get designated that way, we might get paid more money, right? But that's okay. Think about this. This radio program that we have, Good Message, Cheaper Medicine, we did it because we believe in public education. I hate the word education, public enlightenment.
Awareness,
because we have come to believe or to conclude that there is a lot of false information. And we might say things that some people consider them false, but you know what? Come out and tell us.
Well, think of it this way. Think of the new physician compare that was born by CMS Medicare.
Yes.
Maybe like 6-7 years ago, I'd have to look. But physician compare, anybody can go to physician compare, and you put in the zip code and what specialty you want to compare physicians with. Oncology would be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see all the different physicians in that zip code or around that zip code. But you know what it shows you? If whether that physician was actually a participant in the quality measures and surveys through Medicare. Huh. So remember the old PQRS?
Uh-huh.
Like if you did a risk falls assessment, and remember even before the PQRS, PQRI?
So there's people in the government, in CMS, who came up with those measures. For the public to understand, those measures included questions like, is the patient a smoker? Yes. Did you tell them to quit smoking? Yes. How much, that's one only. The other question, where every disease had one. The government, there are a lot of people who think that's a piece of garbage. Right?
Right.
But the government wanted, the people who designed those measures, they wanted to justify them. They wanted to make them credible. So what do? They use them as a measure of your quality.
Well, think about it.
So they say, we want to measure quality, but automatically they said, what we're measuring is equality. Basically answered their questions without even going through the process. Amazing.
Don't you think that a physician, think of this case scenario. A physician who is not participating in PQRS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he assess for falls? Doesn't he talk with a patient about tobacco cessation? Doesn't he do that? Versus someone else who might not do that, but they mark it down that they did it.
So those measures are waste of time, bureaucratic things, and had no use because they are self-serving to the people who designed them. You know what the problem is? The patients suffer when doctors waste time on redundant stuff.
And the physicians suffer, too, of wasting time on redundant stuff.
What's the major, the number one complaint patients have these days? Doctors not spending enough time with them. Well, you guys, you voted for all these people who are in power, and they are the ones who are strangulating the medical profession. So when you go to the vote next time, maybe, do you ever see medicine as being an issue on the ballot? Never.
I can't recall.
We have, can you believe it, transgender issues. That's a big thing on the ballot, really. How many transgender people are there in the U.S.? I mean, if you exclude Key West, right?
Of course. You do want to exclude them.
Right? There aren't many yet. Or the bathroom issues. Yet, you never hear. You know what? These politicians know very well because they have their agenda. And they just bring these minor superficial things that are sensational, and the poor public don't understand. They don't. When Obama won, did anybody know what his plan was? He just talked just universal healthcare. That was healthcare reform. That was it. That's a problem. These are problems we're having. Do people know that the same government you vote for puts bureaucracy between you and your physician? So that there is less time that your physician spends with you.
Well, think of it. One of the other things that they put out there was the mandate of electronic medical records. Mm-hmm. Now, think about it. You know, we adopted an EMR a long time ago, and we love it. But think about other physicians who are maybe getting ready to retire. They're still the old. They're actually getting dinged for not having electronic medical records.
Penalized with money.
Monetarily penalized.
See, that's what Reagan said when he was the only high-ranking official. He was the governor of California. When he was the only one who said, I don't like this Social Security Medicare thing because you're giving the government so much power. And now look at the government now. They're saying, we think you should do medical records, electronic medical records. If you don't, we will hold your money. What's your choice? When Medicare controls, I mean, government insurance now controls about 40% of the market, 50%. You have no choice but to comply, even with the ridiculous. That's why we have this program. That's why we had the other program we discussed last time about the ICD-10, yeah. the funny ones. Back to the cancer centers. What do you want to tell me more?
It's very funny that another reason for them to be designated as an NCI is if they have other organizations like the American Nurse Credentialing Center on board. They look into like if you have specific groups that are actually putting the blessing on that center will also look good as part of their reputation. So if this body says I'm part of the nursing society and I'm putting a blessing on your staff, your nursing staff, then that helps give them more credibility as being a designated cancer center.
You know what, Shelley? I tell you what, there is something I need to tell you about all this what you're describing now. I think our problem is we have the cancer centers that are built on the premises that have to do with the size of the building and their reputation as established through. Don't tell me MD Anderson has great reputation because patients from Canton, Ohio go to MD Anderson, come back, they say the best place in the world. It is the advertisement, beautiful advertisement. They put MD Anderson Cancer Center and they cross the word cancer, right? Beautiful advertisement. The problem we have is that the government is intervening in this process. They are creating rules that why does it matter if you are member of the nursing credentialing, whatever? Don't you think we should look into only one thing or actually two things? Number one, cost. And number two, quality of care, patient satisfaction, whatever it is. In fact, in the book, Good Medicine, Cheaper Medicine, I demonstrated that if you have a lower cost, everything else falls into place as that you are the best. If you are high cost, then your quality usually is lower. Walmart discovered that and acted on it. Home Depot discovered that and acted on it. Recently, there were three major companies, including Amazon. They decided to take that approach, not restricting access. In fact, more free access, but at lower cost. The problem we have is these people, they are telling, the government, they are telling these cancer centers, if you go advertise and you get name recognition, then you get paid more. And if you include the nursing credentialing committee, whatever, in your operations, then you get paid more. And if you build an awesome, awesome, awesome building, regardless of who you hire.
Do you think there's any politics involved?
Of course there is. Of course there is. I mean, we said from day one when we start this program, there is two things that people don't want to talk about, religion and politics, and we decide to talk about both because they are always involved. One of them is always special politics involved in these things. Think about it, Shelley. These institutions are building huge buildings like the Ireland Cancer Center in Cleveland, which was built seven years ago. $600 million.
So that makes it a good cancer center?
Obviously. So if the looks is good, the name recognition is better, and all of a sudden their payments go higher because the government is saying, Medicare is saying that. Regardless of who they hire, Shelley, seriously, what's the possibility that if Cleveland Clinic or Ohio State or Case would ask me to go and work for them in any capacity? What's the possibility that I will do that? I'll fall for that.
Zero.
Even if I'm director for their cancer center.
Even more so.
Because I know I cannot do my job. Because I know I will be fabricating stories. I know I will be twisting things to make things look rosy. But that's not our mission.
So what do patients do? How can they peel back the layers to see what makes a good cancer center a good cancer center?
I don't know. It's almost like shopping for a car. There are a lot of people, they look at a car and they say, okay, I like it. And if the price is $80,000, oh, it must be good, I'll buy it. Remember we went shopping for your car recently down in Columbus?
Right.
And I saw this Alfa Romeo convertible sports car, and I said, oh, I love this one. I saw the SUV was only $50,000. I said, this probably will be $45,000, $50,000. I said, I love this one. And then I asked how much the price? $90,000. I said, this doesn't make sense. The SUV is actually more expensive, but
right,
people buy it. So when you're more expensive, the uninformed, what did I do? I'm informed, right? You think?
Yeah.
I said, hell no. That Fiat is going to have the price, and that's what you get, right?
Right.
My Range Rover actually is even cheaper than that, and I love it. The point is, if you are an informed person, you will know that somebody is overcharging, or somebody is over-advertising, or somebody is, that you should do your own analysis.
Exactly my point. So how do they do that? Because there's really no good website that is unbiased. I mean, you've got, well, it's unbiased. The physician compare is unbiased. It just has stupid data to compare.
Maybe unrelated, but one of the problems we have with education now in schools and in colleges, we are telling people, I tell you how it works and you have to believe me, you don't argue. So when our college graduates, I think it was on the radio or TV 2 days ago, college graduates, they are taught when they're in college by mostly communist, socialist, liberal professors that, you know what, we want the land of utopia. Everybody get guaranteed job, everybody get health insurance, everybody get this. Then these guys go to the real world after a few years. Oops. But it takes few years for people to realize. Just give you an example. Yesterday, you told me your son's best friend graduated with engineering degree, oil engineering.
Yes.
Startup salary, how much?
150. Working 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
So you're working 26 weeks. And you know what?
23-year-old.
Right. We are not educating people to make the right choices and to think freely. That kid is smart. That's why he landed a job like this. If I was a smart person, the last thing I would do when I go to college is to go and study interior decoration. You know what? Interior decoration, either you have it or you don't.
Yeah.
It's not like engineering. And that's why I'm saying I think the education system in America is a little bit this too much left bias. We should have leftists, but also we should have rightists. People should be exposed. Again, I mentioned in my book, The Cancer Gene, I want people, students, to be exposed to the theory of Darwin of evolution at the same day. I want them also to hear about the creation. Have them think for themselves. We are not allowing to do that. Oh, you can't have George Washington's picture there because he's a bad dude. You can't have a cross or Jesus there because that offend other people. And all of a sudden, you're restricting people's ability to think. It's far-fetched, but when we raise kids, that we tell them, don't think, we'll think for you, advertisement works.
Well, don't you, in my mind, the quality measures I hate to call them quality measures, but the measures that I would use to start looking into cancer centers would be how quickly, number one, does someone pick up the phone instead of an auto attendant? Is it a real human? Number two, how quickly can I get in to see a physician? Number three, how quickly am I pulled out of the waiting room? We don't even call the waiting room a waiting room. They don't wait. It's a quick lobby.
We are the only cancer center that doesn't have a waiting room.
Yeah.
You know why? Because patients don't wait.
Cancer doesn't.
Therefore, we have a problem.
Cancer doesn't wait, so they shouldn't either.
Yes.
Then how quickly are they pulled out of you know, seen in the exam room? How quickly do they get access to their treatment? When do they start treatment? Mm-hmm. That's another measurement that
should be. The thing that delays starting treatment these days is what?
Payers.
Insurance.
Insurance. Whether it's oral or
yes.
Medical side.
Yes.
What's really bad is when specialty pharmacy gets involved, but we already did a huge topic on that. So those are some of the measures that I think. And then another measure that I'm thinking of would be how homey is the infusion suite? How is it? Does it feel like you're being seen in a hospital, or does it feel like you're laying on a recliner,
yeah,
which our center has all the lazy boy recliners?
So those big centers, usually they have this artsy thing, almost like you are in the Museum of Art in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Now, make it something like ours is all about golf, and everybody likes it.
Yeah. We have fish tanks
made by an Amish guy. We have, anyway, picture.
But those are the measures.
We forgot one. How accessible the physician is to the patients.
Oh, exactly.
If you compare hospitals employed physicians or academic centers to the private sector, you as a patient, you call the hospital, the unit there. Dr. X is in the conference today. He's on vacation, so somebody else would answer, what do we do?
And that is a big measure.
They have my cell phone.
Yep.
And they text me. And you know what? It doesn't bother me, even when they text me during my backswing on the golf.
Right.
I still finish my swing, and they text him back.
That should be probably the heaviest weighted measure.
How much?
Access.
Oh, access.
Access.
I think so. And I think, you know, we have to have a pride in the fact that patients even text me images of their sore throat, of their skin rash. And people say, well, why do you share telephone? Then you know what? It really doesn't bother me. I still play golf almost every day.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.